692. And it's Jesus Saves. We have heard the joyful sound. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's bow in prayer and wait on the Lord tonight. That means to just settle our hearts, pray for God's presence and speaking voice, and for His help. O God, our Father, we thank Thee that Thou art our God, that the Lord Jesus is our Redeemer and our Savior, that the Holy Spirit is our Paraclete, our Comforter and Strength, our Guide, our Prompter, the energy that we need to worship Thee in spirit and truth, that we might be awakened to the reality of the living God, and that our hearts may be aflame out of real devotion to glorify Thee this evening. Help us to do that in our praises, in our praying, in our reading of the Scriptures, that that God-breathed Word will come alive to us. Help us to do that in the message out of that Word this evening, that it might be a word that is according to Your will, that it might lead each brother and sister into the center of God's will. we pray that you will deal with our waywardness and bring us back, bring us into line, bring us into the place where you can truly, mightily bless us, into deeper waters, into new, fresh experience of the love of God, of the holiness of God, of the wisdom of God, of the justice of God, and of that compassion, that fatherliness that is in the heart of the true and living God. We thank thee that that compassion was seen in the life of our Lord Jesus when you touched even the leper, when you healed the blind and made him to see, and when you raised the dead. What power was demonstrated, but more than that, what life was given, what hope was given. And we pray tonight that there may be hope, even for the hopeless in this meeting, that you would touch hearts and minds and breathe upon us that we might be a blessed people. We do thank thee for the grace that you've given to this congregation to stand up for the Lord Jesus in these times. Thank you that you have given them a hunger for your word and an eye for your glory. And we pray that you will lead them on and bless them mightily and use them for your glory. We pray that this will be a place where many souls will be born of God and the family of God extended. Lord, remember our family members, those that are out of Christ, need to be saved. Lord, we confess our shortcomings in witnessing to them. We confess often that we give them reason to mock. We pray that thou by thy Spirit will convince and convert and use our daily witness and make us to be that finger point post to the Lord. Oh, please, Lord, visit us in grace and minister to us. Remember those who are joining us online, those who are absent, some traveling. Bless the Reverend Saunders and his wife and all that are gone from us this evening. Grant, Lord, that you will be gracious unto them. Hear us now. Hear our prayer. Hear our earnest plea. Through the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Now we're going back a hymn to 691, and it's Bring Them In. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and drear, calling the sheep who've gone astray. Now someone told me that you may not have sung this before, or may not be familiar with it. So I'm going to ask the musicians to just play through one stanza, and you tune your ear during that stanza. Okay. Now, if my fingers could sing, we would have great music tonight. But I have no guarantees about my voice. We're going to stand and sing this together, please. 691.
Yeah.
good. We did wonderfully well on that one. We're going to read God's word together in John chapter 1 and beginning at verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. And in our Bible reading tonight, I want you to look out for the disciple Andrew. He is the key figure that we want to look at tonight, and I trust that he will, his name will appear, and you'll see those verses where he is referred to. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now notice the switch there. They were firstly listening to John the Baptist, and then when they heard the message, they followed Jesus, verse 37. And you know, that's the pastor's delight. When we preach the message, and men and women and young people, they decide, we will follow Jesus. That's a job completed. When we see them off as followers of the Savior. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Amen. We'll end our reading just there. May the Lord write this word on your heart this evening. Mr. Fraser is going to come and bring the very long announcements tonight. You will probably hear a long version of this tonight. Just joking.
As we meet together around his word. If you've joined us online, we welcome you as well, and send us a note, an email to the note on the email address on the screen, and we would love to hear of your stay with us. Welcome Reverend Jesse Bartz with us this evening, and pray for the Lord's blessing on Jesse as he ministers out in Arundale Baptist. And the announcements for the incoming week, we have George Robinson doing the prayer meeting on Wednesday, Lord willing, and that'll be at 7:30 on Wednesday evening. And then next Lord's Day, we have our pastor will be taking both services at 11 a.m. and 6:30. Pray for our pastor and Jill as they travel home from their time away, and that the Lord will be with them in all that lies ahead. All these, the Lord willing, and we'll look forward to the word tonight.
Thank you, brother. Well, it is a joy for Beulah and me to be here tonight to help out in this meeting when your pastor is gone, and we're just thankful for the opportunity. It only took us an hour and 55 minutes to get here. We left at 3:30, not knowing exactly what the traffic is like, because there's a problem in Barrie. We live in the north end of the city, right up by the mall, and there are three major routes that funnel into the 400 right at Barrie. There's Route 11, Route 400, and Route 26, and all the cottagers are coming home on a Sunday afternoon, so we knew we better leave a little bit of extra time, and it took us almost 2 hours, an hour and 55 minutes. And that included a couple of bottlenecks, one crash that we saw that was just getting cleared up, but you never know. So on a Sunday afternoon, we have to just allow that extra time. But we're always delighted to come and to visit here and to join in the fellowship of the church. We trust the Lord will bless you this evening. I see some new faces. I hope to meet you after the meeting. And we trust that the Lord will bless. I also see some familiar faces, and I hope we'll see you after the meeting as well. So we're looking forward to that. Pastor Bart's here tonight. What shall I do? We've got a Baptist pastor in a Presbyterian church on a Sunday evening in August. And isn't it a wonderful thing? We're preaching here tonight on the message of John the Baptist. So I think so far, we're doing okay, but we'll ask him at the end of the meeting how it went. So it's nice to meet our brother here tonight. And for those online, of course, we're glad that you can join with us. And you never know who's watching in. Maybe even Dr. Saunders is watching in. And I know that he has done that in the past. And we do congratulate him and his wife on a new grandchild. It's a boy, is that right? A grandson. Well, the Saunders family is multiplying, and we rejoice with them in that good news. Now, one quick reference to our son Calvin, and I know so many have been praying, and even in the prayer meeting this evening, some have been praying for him, and we just want to give the good report that he's all through the treatments, he's all finished up the radiation and the chemo and getting his hair back again for the second time and getting his strength back, and he's saying he's getting back to his new normal. So we're very, very thankful. We praise the Lord, and we truly do appreciate your interest and prayers over these last 10 months or so that he has gone through all of these things. So we thank you and we love you in the Lord for your faithful support and prayerfulness through all of this time. And we just continue to trust the Lord for the days ahead. Our next hymn is The Seed of the Kingdom. It's number 707. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? Now, this is another hymn where I've been advised you may not know so well. We're going to ask our musicians again to play through the first stanza, and we'll tune our ears, try and get the tune, and then we'll stand to sing. Let's stand to sing, please. Stand a moment as we unite in prayer. Father, we come before your throne again. We ask your blessing upon the ministry of your word. We plead the victory of Calvary this evening over this meeting. We plead the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. And we pray that thou wilt defeat the powers of darkness, the devil himself, and take away all distractions. Give that focus and that ability to feed upon your word. O Lord, feed us, minister to us, and send us away full of the blessing of the Lord this evening. We pray in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. We're back to John 1. We're back to this section that we read together, and we have already noted that there were two disciples in particular that were hearing the message of John the Baptist, and they heard those all-time great famous words that are used as a text in many of our churches. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then these two who were following John immediately became followers of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful thing that if you came into the church tonight to hear a preacher, but you went home a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ to serve him and worship him. That certainly is our prayer. Now, one of those disciples was called Andrew. He believed, he followed, and then he witnessed, and he brought his brother Simon to the Lord Jesus. And it was at that time that Simon got a new name. He was called Cephas, a stone. Now, we don't really know much about Andrew. certainly not from the New Testament, but he was God's link to what we would say is the second key man of the New Testament after Paul the Apostle, the conversion of Peter. He became a disciple of Christ because his own brother in the flesh got a hold of him and brought him to introduce him to the Lord Jesus. Now you can be the link to a family member that you are burdened for who needs the Savior and needs a new heart. It is, of course, the chief mark of God's grace in your heart that you are burdened, you pray, and you are willing to labor to bring your family members to the Lord Jesus, just as Andrew did for his brother Simon, who became the outstanding apostle Peter. But how do we witness to family? They, of course, can be the hardest of all people to speak to because they know us so well. They know our history, they know our habits, they know our strengths and our weaknesses, they know our shortcomings, and we tremble that they're going to point the finger back at us when we dare to speak to them that they need to become a Christian. But how blessed is the family where every member is in the ark of salvation. Mom, dad, boys, girls, brothers, sisters, and they are all followers of the Lord Jesus. But what a heartache when there is a prodigal, one that is rebellious, will not listen, and rejects every attempt to be brought to the Lord Jesus. Then we need to pray for the heart of God that is full of mercy. And that's where we're going to end tonight. We're going to end this meeting tonight with the very story of how the Lord Jesus openly received Simon so readily. But we've got to get there. And you've got to have the confidence this evening that if you bring your family member to Jesus, that he is full of grace and full of compassion. Now, I have been burdened about this matter for some time because I too have family members who are out of Christ. And over the years, as we try to witness to them, it would appear that often our words fall on deaf ears. And sometimes we've taken the wrong approach. Sometimes we haven't been the wisest. And we need help. And we certainly need wisdom and courage that we might get back up and again become, like Andrew, a witness to bring our family members to the Lord Jesus. But it begins with a burden. Paul the Apostle said that he could wish himself to be accursed from Christ, that he might see his kinsmen, his people, converted and brought to the Lord. Now, recently, as I looked at this example of Peter, I was greatly encouraged, and it has helped me. And there are some things here that are good pointers to us, that may help us to bring our family and our loved ones to the Lord Jesus. Let me just rattle them off, and then we'll take a more deeper look at them. Andrew looked to Jesus for himself. You remember how John preached to him? Behold, the Lamb of God. He looked to the Lord Jesus himself. He believed on the Lord Jesus himself. That's what looking really is, believing. He followed Jesus for himself. And then he invited his brother Simon himself. And he himself saw how kindly, how readily the Lord Jesus received his brother Simon. Now Andrew looked to Jesus for himself. Look at verse 36. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. He was a living preacher, this John the Baptist. All Baptists are not bad. There certainly are some good ones. And here was John the Baptist, and he got it right. Behold the Lamb of God. And the eyes of those two disciples were firmly fixed on the Lord Jesus. Andrew saw Jesus as the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the Savior, the long-expected Redeemer of history. And of course, that knowledge just bubbled up within his heart that he could look and trust in the Lord Jesus. Andrew saw Jesus as the man of Calvary, the one who would die upon that cross and shed his blood, and of course the might of his atonement that taketh away the sins of the world. Now I let others get into all the ramifications of that statement, but that is a mighty atonement. One sacrifice, one person, one great event at Calvary. And there is sufficiency in the blood of Jesus to take away all the sins of all the men of all around the world that will ever believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a mighty look. He also saw that Jesus' blood has the power to take away sins. That's what John preached. He didn't just say, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He actually does it. Some may be filled with unbelief tonight and say, well, it's a pretty picture. It's a nice little story, but is there any reality to it? Well, praise God, this gospel actually works. There's people here tonight that are rejoicing. They know that their sins are gone. They're taken away by the blood of Jesus and nothing else. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And the one who is washed is whiter than snow. And you can be sure tonight that Jesus has the power to take away your sins. Now, for a Christian to be a witness, you must have this conviction. You must have this inner certainty that this is true. To personally share the gospel, to go to a family member we're talking about tonight, a brother, a sister, or maybe a parent. What? To the one who has raised me up and given me all their knowledge, and now I'm telling them what they need to do? You need a real, deep, inner conviction that this gospel is real, that Christ died and his blood saves, and it's the only way to be saved. And as you dare to open your mouth and be a witness for the Lord Jesus, you want to be full, strong, resilient in these things, that you might be a living witness for the Lord Jesus. But you see, I couldn't do that. Well, let me suggest to you that you get that little booklet, A New Beginning. And I know it has to be available here because it's printed by Mr. McAnally, and the Reverend Saunders is the one who has had them ordered by all of our churches, or many of our churches, and it has to be available here somewhere. A little booklet called A New Beginning. And you can go through that step by step, the sinner's need, Christ as the only Savior, how Jesus can save you, what it means to believe, what it means to call on the Lord personally, how to live the Christian life, the need to join a church, and so on. Step by step, it's all there in that little booklet. Now, you can go to your family member and say, here, read this, and then we'll talk. Break the ice. Say, I'm going to give you this now, but tomorrow I want us to talk. And you introduce them to the gospel message. But you can't do it secondhand. You have to be a personal witness. You have to be like Andrew, who has personally looked to Jesus. You've seen the cross. You've seen the Christ of the cross. You've seen the blood of the cross. You have appreciated the victory of the cross. And you have pleaded that salvation for yourself. And so he looked. And then I can deduce from this that Andrew believed on Jesus for himself. Because to look, to behold, in Bible speak, in gospel terms, to look onto Jesus is to believe on him. It's not just to gaze, not just to have a little quick glance. It is to see the sight and see the wonder and then come to trust and to rest in the Lord by believing. Now, we're in John chapter 1. If you go back to verse 12, there's a very useful little verse here, and it says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, when you're talking to someone and giving them the gospel, they mean, well, what do you mean believe? How do I believe? Well, John 1:12 will greatly help. It's similar to receiving. And just as someone would give a gift, a wrapped up package, all taped up, and they say, here, receive this. And you take that personally, you embrace it, and you take it as your possession. When we believe on the Lord Jesus, we receive him. We take him personally. We accept him as the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. We accept him as the only way to the Father. We accept the work that he has done on our behalf. We trust in his cross work, in his death. And Andrew trusted. He had looked unto Jesus. He received the Lord Jesus, and he came to rest in the Lord Jesus. Now that's the real marrow of the gospel, to be brought to rest, knowing that the Lord taketh away our sins, enables us to rest from all other useless efforts of religion. Religion's like a treadmill. It puts you to work. And the harder you work, the harder you must work. And the more you accomplish, the more you need to accomplish. That's never rest. But faith, to believe in and receive the Lord as your Savior, is to cease from yourself. It is literally hands down and stop trying to do anything to save your own soul. Cease from self-works and looking and keep looking at what the Lord Jesus has accomplished. And you will rest in his promises. Let me give you one, And if you're going to be a witness to your family members, it's a great verse. Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there may be those times when your family member, and you can read a family member, you can see the strain on their face, you can see the tears that they're holding back, and you can say, you know, there is a place of rest. There's one who will save you. There's one who will help you. And you can rest in him, his work, and his promises. That's what Andrew did. And a Christian is really a new person. And you come into this newness of resting in the Lord. And it moves you to testify of an inner confidence. A confidence that others will see in you. Your husband will see it. Your wife will see it. Even children will notice. Maybe little children, but certainly grown children. My mom or dad has come to cease from all of that way of the worry world and has a calm, resting soul. And since, this is what they will say, since you found the Lord Jesus, or the Lord Jesus came into your life, you have come to possess a new rest. And that's really, I think, the key expression of the new life that we have in Christ. To know that Christ on the cross paid it all. To know that I am justified freely from all things. That I am pardoned from all guilt and debt. That brings your soul into a new life of resting. That's what worship is. You come to rest. And you rejoice and give thanks for what the Lord has done for your soul. And that becomes your new life. Now, Peter had something to say about this way years later when he became an apostle. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Peter 3, 1. Now, you may be familiar with this chapter. It is the very often the common problem of how does a wife who seeks to be submissive to her husband win her husband from ungodly living to trust in the Lord. And here's Peter's advice. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, may without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, that conversation is the lifestyle. But it's not the old lifestyle. It's not the worldly lifestyle. It is the new life in Christ. It's this life of resting in the redeeming work of the Lord. And here's the husband looking on. While they behold your chaste conversation. Chaste is simply pure lifestyle, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Now, it's not an easy position to be in, a wife trying to please your husband. He's worldly, he's ungodly, he's uncouth, he's abrupt, he can be rude, he can be very tough at times. And you are married to this man, and you're seeking now to be a living witness to him and to keep your marriage together. It is that new life of resting, that new life of trusting in the Lord that will enable you to do it. And so the unsaved spouse has the task to witness and to win their beloved one to faith in the Lord Jesus. But the big thing to note is that gospel witness without a changed life, a humble life, will not work. Peter says it will not work. And this man, Andrew, he looked to Jesus. He believed in the Lord Jesus. He applied the gospel, and he had a new life. We also can say that Andrew personally repented. He came to hate sin. Now, I'll speak of this in general terms because it doesn't specifically say it here, but all true faith, all true gospel resting in the finished work of Calvary brings you to hate sin. You can't have true faith in what Christ accomplished at Calvary and all the horror that he endured to pay the price of sin, to take away your sin, without hatred for sin. And Andrew would have had that. And so, just as John the Baptist pointed the people to look to Jesus for salvation, pointing men to Jesus and it becomes the soul winner's work. That's what we're doing. And that's what your whole life from here on will do. And your whole life is now a finger post pointing others to the Lord Jesus. And you are to start with your family, your closest, your nearest, and your dearest. Andrew could do that because he looked to Jesus and he believed in Jesus himself. And then we see in verse 38 that he followed Jesus for himself. This is the instantaneous result of personal faith to be with Jesus. Andrew became a follower, as did the other who heard John's preaching. They both followed the Lord. Now, Andrew was not a secret disciple. He did not say, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to let this new decision I've made to follow Jesus to be known. I'll just hold back. He didn't say, my religion is my business. It's private. No, Andrew stepped out of his former orbit and personally followed the Lord Jesus, desiring to be with the Lord. And following Jesus personally became his public testimony. He was not only interested in Jesus, he followed him. He wanted to be with him. And surely this is what has happened to you. I speak to Christians here tonight, those that are saved and born again. You have not merely believed, you have not merely called on him, but you have become a follower of the Lord Jesus. And that means that you're no longer following the world. Those temptations and allurements of ungodly, wicked things, you're saying, I'm done. I'm not going to walk in the ways of darkness anymore. I desire to walk in the light of the Lord. You've made a clean break with worldly things. You have a testimony now to keep, for you cannot say that you believe on and love the Lord and then spend your time in any wicked thing. If you do, how could you be a witness? How could you go to your brother? How could you go to a family member after living the worldly life and saying, I want you to think about becoming a Christian? What a mockery. What a laugh that would be. John the Apostle wrote, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And that became Andrew's testimony before his family, including Simon. To be a witness for Christ, your testimony is all important. Some Christians can't witness to their family. It's not because they're not able to. It's because their lifestyle doesn't allow them to. And they're defeated before they would even begin. And so, my fellow brother and sister, I would appeal to you to make sure that you're not only believing and looking to Jesus, but that you're following him. You are bringing your life into alignment in the footsteps of the Lord in obedient Christianity. And then you become a witness before others. As a follower of Jesus, you're always sowing seeds. Everything you do and say, you're sowing seeds. Even when you say, well, I'm going to plan tomorrow, I'm going to do something or travel somewhere, and you'll say, Lord willing. That in itself is sowing seeds. Or when you keep the Lord's day, and you say, well, I can't do it on Sunday because that's the Lord's day, and I keep that day holy unto God. You may not say it in all those words, but people get to know there's certain things you won't do on the Christian Sabbath. That becomes your witness. That becomes your testimony. And there are many ways that you can be a witness for the Lord. What about inviting people to church? That's a good start. I think there are many family members that they get used to you going off and meeting times on your own. What about saying to them, this week I want you to come with me? And don't start on Saturday night. Start Monday morning. And say to them, you know, we've got the whole week before us, but I want you to plan to be free to come with me on Sunday. Don't take on anything. Come with me, and we'll sit together, we'll listen to the preaching of the Bible, and who can tell? And open up the pathway as best you can. Or maybe they don't come to church with you and you go home after church. What can you do? Rehearse the sermon. You can do that. Take a few notes. Get the outline. And do you know what the preacher said today? And do you know where he found it in the Bible? And you get your Bible out and show it to them. The text for the sermon. An illustration, a story. You're sowing seeds. What about a gospel leaflet? What about saying to someone, would you read that and think about it and tell me what you think? Not only, you know, it's like the fisherman. You just don't throw the hook out on the water and let it sit there. You try and bait it. You try and get them to read it and think about it. These are ways that we as Christians can be as Andrew, seeking to bring our brother to the Lord Jesus. There's a wonderful hymn I was looking at just yesterday. It's number 296 in our book, and it speaks of the blessed peace of Christ my bosom fills. The Father's smiling care I see. With love divine, my happy spirit thrills, for Jesus' blood has ransomed me. And then the refrain, this is what I want you to get. The blood of Jesus ransomed me. He paid my debt and set me free. Where'er I go, the world shall know the blood of Jesus ransomed me. Could you make that real in your life? Could you be a living witness for the gospel just by doing the right things at the right time? Now, Andrew brought Simon to Jesus by himself. Let's look at verse 41 of this chapter. He first findeth his own brother Simon. It was no accident. He went looking for him. Now, Simon might have been doing a million things. He might have been in different places, but Andrew found him. He knew the haunts. He knew where to go and find him. And he found him and brought him. I'm sure there was a good discussion going, I can't come now, not today. Yes, you must come today. This is your opportunity. Jesus is near. And he would have prevailed upon Simon. Now, note the message that he gave to Simon in verse 41. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and he saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. What was he doing? He built upon the Jewish family's knowledge of the Messiah. You've heard all your life about the Messiah. Here he is. Come, see him for yourself. Let me introduce you to him. And he convinced him. His heart was so full that Andrew just blurted it out. You know, I think that real evangelism doesn't have any formula. You can't script it. You can't go and write down in cue cards what you're going to say to your brother. That's so unnatural. Seldom works, unless you want to leave cue cards and let him put them in behind his textbook or somewhere where he will find them and you know he'll get to read them. But it's natural. And Andrew just told him. And you know, in the book of Acts, one of the great gospel evangelistic words just simply means gossip. And there's not a single person here that can't gossip. There's nobody here that can't gossip. Tell a story. And what do Christians do when we evangelize? We're not theologians. We don't always get it strictly right, but we tell what we know. Tell what you know. Don't claim to be a professor. Don't claim to be a theologian. Don't claim to know it all. Just simply say, this is what I found. This is what Jesus has done for me. This is my testimony. It's real. And in that way, you can be a witness to family members. What are you doing? You're sowing seeds. Giving a gift of a Bible, wouldn't that be a good birthday gift, Christmas gift? Give an invitation to church, a leaflet. What about sending out a link to a sermon? Now, all these young people here with their knowledge of technology, what do you use for sending out texts and messages? We've got Facebook and WhatsApp and whatnot and all these other things. So many ways to send out messages. You could put a link to the best sermon that Dr. Saunders ever preached and say, hear that. There are ways to be a witness and share the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Or just a text. A text with a Bible text in it. Or my all-time favorite, what I believe is really the best, a phone call, just as simple as that. And even old people can do that. Lift the phone. Call that person and say, you know what? I've got good news for you. and I want to come over and share it with you. Can we meet? There are ways to prepare the way. I have found as a pastor of ways of flying a kite. Not literally, but when you're introducing something or when you're trying to talk to somebody about something, and you will say to them, "Now, I'm in your area next week and I want to come and talk to you about," and you tell them what it's about. That prepares the way. So when you arrive and you knock the door and you come in, the ground is prepared. They've already hopefully been thinking about it. Maybe they've even resolved it. You can do that. I want to come over and talk to you about why this world is so lost. Wouldn't that be an interesting topic? Don't get too personal at the beginning. But then you might say, well, you're lost too. It's not just the whole world's lost, you're lost. And you need to be saved. These are personal, simple, effective approaches. And just as Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus, you can be a link to someone's conversion. Now, I said tonight we're going to close with how the Lord Jesus received Simon. We get to that at verse 42, and you will see that he brought him to Jesus. Then what? Then what? Andrew witnessed how the Lord received him. You'll see here that the Lord knew Simon by name. He knew all about him. Just as you read down the chapter about Nathanael, even though he was out of sight, the Lord knew all about him. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I take comfort in that as a pastor, because what responsibility it is to try and counsel someone for salvation. And when you bring a person to the Lord Jesus or to trust in the Lord Jesus, you have to rest in that the Lord will do the counseling. The Lord knows the person. The Lord knows the background. He even knows the sins of that person. And Simon came and the Lord knew him by name. The Lord had x-rayed his heart. And he said to him, "Thou shalt be called Cephas," meaning a stone. Now, Peter was a petulant fellow. And he needed a lot of changing in his life. The Lord knew all about his nature. He knew all about how feeble he was. And by grace, Peter was made into a mighty apostle. Oh, how powerful the Lord Jesus is to counsel. Isn't it wonderful that he's the all-wise counselor? You see, it's not our wisdom that we can dig into a person's heart and all their issues and needs and the psychology of it and the psychiatry of it and all the humanity issues. The Lord is the Savior. He's the creator of our bodies. He knows our minds. He knows our hearts. He knows that we need a clear conscience. He can apply the blood. The Holy Spirit can take the things of Christ and make them real to that person. Grant them faith and trust to believe. And we can therefore tell sinners, go to Jesus. He will save you. And tell them to cry out unto the Lord. Now I would think again of that verse, Matthew 11:28, where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the Lord who gives the rest. But the Simon, the seeking sinner, needs to do the praying. And there's a danger at this point when you are witnessing to someone and they're interested in meeting the Lord and coming to the Lord and trusting in the Lord, that you don't get in the way. and you bring them to the place, well, you've got to pray to the Lord yourself. I can pray for you for guidance, but I can't pray for salvation for you. You've got to ask the Lord yourself. In Hosea 14:2, it says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. It's a personal meeting between the sinner and the Savior. And we've got to allow the Savior to do the work of saving that person, granting them faith, bringing them to grace. And of course, the great promise of Romans 10:9. You might want to take down these verses. The first one there was Hosea 14:2. Now I'm moving to Romans 10:9, right through to 13. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now it's you calling, it is you confessing, it is you believing, and it is you testifying that God has raised his Son from the dead. And the Lord hears the sinner's cry. And so as you bring someone to Jesus, you give them these words, these promises, these assurances, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, that person must do the confessing himself. And sometimes it's a good idea to leave the room and say, now you just get down on your knees and you cry to the Lord. And you do the calling. And you do the asking. And you do the pleading and the confessing of your sins. And you call on the Lord to save your soul. The Lord knows how to save the sinner. 1 John 1:9, of course, a great verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I would certainly give that verse. And maybe for some people, I would write that verse into their Bible. Because you know what? Some people get into such a stew. I went to the meeting, I heard the gospel, someone talked to me, I prayed, but I'm not clear. And the next day, they're not sure where they're at. I remember the Reverend William McCrae telling a story of a boy and his mother who went to a gospel meeting. And that boy and girl heard the gospel and were counseled for salvation. And the next day, the boy went to school and the mother was at home and she was worrying about what happened and so on. The boy came home from school full of joy and he said, Mom, how are you? He said, well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And the boy ran upstairs to his bedroom. In a few minutes, he came running down the stairs with his Bible in hand. And he said, Mom, Mom, it's still there. The verse is still there. You see, we're feeble. We get confused. We lose sight. But the written word, the promises of the Savior and the gospel, that's why they're written for us. And they become now our food and our nourishment that we may grow in faith and know the Lord. Just think of Peter. What a wobbly character he was. What a fearful character. He denied the Lord, you know. But the Lord met him after the resurrection. There was a one-to-one meeting with Peter. And later, Peter was reestablished. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. Peter was back on his feet. But it was Andrew who was the first link. Wouldn't it be a great thing that you could be that link to your family member? Your whole life should be that link. But set yourself to be a witness. To be an Andrew. and of course come to pray. Something else I would suggest to you tonight, to a family member, tell them that you're praying for their salvation. Tell them, I'm praying for your salvation with all my heart every day. And I'm going to church, and I'm going to the prayer meeting, and I'm going to mention your name, and we're going to pray unitedly for you. That lets them see that your religion is real. This is not just a trite matter of just seeming to be a Christian, but that the matter's urgent. And after all, it's the Lord that does the saving. And that's why we have prayer meetings, praying for souls. Praying for souls. Some prayer meetings you go to and the list is like being in the ER of all the ills and problems of the congregation. And the burden for souls can be lost. Oh, tonight, be an Andrew. Be an Andrew. Think of some family member. Set your mind to be that witness unto him or her. And pray, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord. Use my life. Use my words. Use my efforts. The Lord can give you that power to be a witness to family. And may God use you and bless you. And whatever cost it brings, rejoice that you have the opportunity and that they might be brought to Jesus. Perhaps tonight we'll close the meeting in prayer and we'll think about our family tonight. We think about those that just don't get it. They need the Lord. Let's pray for them. O God, our Father, we come earnestly to the throne of grace this evening. We come earnestly to seek help from the sanctuary. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that when Andrew brought his brother, that you knew all about him. And Lord, there are family members here represented tonight, and you know all about them. You know what they're doing right at this time, as you did Nathaniel. Lord, you know all about their ways and their blindness to the gospel. Oh, Lord, we pray that you'll make us Andrews. Make us to be witnesses. Use our testimony. Use our life. Use our efforts. Use our invitations. Grant, Lord, that you will be glorified in bringing loved ones in. Into the church, into Christ. May they be like those two followers of John the Baptist who followed Jesus. Lord, that will be the blessing to see men, women, boys and girls following the Lord Jesus. Do it, O God, we pray. How we need to see that multiplied in this nation. Unite our families in Christ. Give us household salvation. Be glorified and be praised in doing it. And may you be with us this evening as we take our way home. We pray for the blessing of heaven upon our souls in the week to come. We pray you'll bless marriages, bless children in their playtime and vacation time. Bless those who travel, and grant that you'll be with this congregation and make them a bright light to those who sit in darkness. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each brother and sister, each redeemed one. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.